Turn there in your Bibles. This is the Word of God. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Well, God, you who are our Father, through Jesus Christ, we pray that you'd open our minds to understand the scriptures today. And help us to see you clearly and to love you more. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. I am the good shepherd. You know, we're so used to hearing that phrase. We've got the Good Shepherd Alliance, the homeless shelter in the county. And we're so used to hearing that phrase that we don't recognize in it that there's an implicit rebuke. I'm the good shepherd. You know, Rebecca Mohan has that playgroup that she organizes once a month. And moms come out to that. I guess dads could come out too, but it's usually moms. And we have moms from our church. Sometimes we have moms from other churches. Sometimes we have unchurched moms. And it's nice to be able to stop by and say hello to them. But you can imagine, right, if all these parents were standing around talking to one another, and one of them said, "I am the good parent." And people would laugh, you know, nervously, it's a joke. And if you realized that the person was not joking when he or she said that, things would get very uncomfortable. Because the implication of saying, "I am the good shepherd," the implication of that is that there are shepherds who are not such good shepherds. The implication is that there are shepherds who might be downright bad shepherds. I am the good shepherd. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? Who are the shepherds? You know, in the Old Testament, which is the Bible that Jesus referred to and quoted from, that there are five uses of the word shepherd. Actually, there's kind of like three uses, and the third one has parts A, B, and C. The first use of the word shepherd is just a literal tender of sheep, a fellow who lives out in the fields, stays with the sheep, eats with the sheep, smells like the sheep. He's dealing with literal sheep. The other uses of the word shepherd are metaphorical. And one of them that's significant is that God is the shepherd. We read that this morning, didn't we, in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And we see that throughout the scripture. Psalm 80 begins, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth." And throughout the Psalms, throughout the prophets, we see God referred to as the shepherd of his people. And then there are also people who are metaphorically designated as shepherds. Kings who lead and guide the people in righteous living are the shepherds of Israel. That, by the way, was not unique to Israel. The kings of the ancient Near East were referred to frequently as shepherds. The priests who lead and guide the people in righteous worship and showing mercy, they were the shepherds. And the prophets who spoke the word of the Lord to guide God's people, including the priests and the kings, they were referred to as shepherds. And so God arranges to appoint kings and priests and prophets over his people as shepherds, that is, as leaders, as guides, as protectors, as caretakers and caregivers. So in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2, we have recorded there that the Lord said to David, "You will shepherd my people Israel. You will become their ruler," when he calls him to be king of Israel. It's of the priests that it is said in Zechariah chapter 10, "My anger burns against the shepherds, and I will punish their leaders." And as Jeremiah the prophet fears for his life because the message that he proclaims is not a popular message and people don't like it, and they're telling him, "Jeremiah, you're saying wrong things. You need to have a more positive message here." And he feels threatened. And we read that Jeremiah cries out to the Lord, "I have not run away, O Lord, from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you." Kings, priests, and prophets were shepherds. But what we find in the scriptures is that throughout Israel's history, largely, they'd become faithless. You know, today I was just having a discussion with my oldest son about one of the things that marks the scriptures as really being true and really being the word of God is that you get the idea when you read through the prophets that their message was unpopular and that there were other prophets whose messages were popular, that were diametrically opposed to it. How is it that these prophets become the scriptures? I mean, it doesn't make any sense unless it's the word of God, unless it's God speaking to his people and they somehow recognize that. But the shepherds had become faithless. Kings ruled by their own authority, for their own purposes, at their own whim, for their own benefit. Priests tolerated, in some cases even encouraged, the worship of pagan gods, of the gods of the nations around them, so long as they carried out the rituals of Israel and paid their tithes. Worship how you want in your own time. And the prophets, if you read them, the charge brought against them is that the prophets were speaking words of peace and comfort and safety when they should have been speaking words of God's judgment. Because comfort messages made them popular and loved, and judgment messages did not. And God had said through the prophet Isaiah, For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions for us. To Ezekiel, he said, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying from their own hearts. You know, today we hear that phrase, isn't that a wonderful thing to speak from your heart? Well, that depends very much on what you mean by that. If you mean sincerely, I suppose that that is fine, but what God is concerned about is that they're speaking sincerely about how they think things ought to be, how they think things are, how they assess things, rather than by the revelation of God. To Jeremiah, he said, do not let the prophets deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. And what was it that brought that stinging rebuke? What was the illusion that they were prophesying? What were they saying? Well, they were saying that the wound was not serious. They were saying that judgment was not coming, or if it did come, it wouldn't be severe. That God didn't really care that much about holiness. Basically, I'm sad to say they were preaching a gospel that we hear in so many evangelical churches today. And God was angry with the people for their lip service and their pretended devotion. And even angrier at the shepherds for their dodging, coddling, majoring on the minors, half-truth and therefore whole-lie preaching. And through the prophet Isaiah, he said, so justice is driven back and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot answer. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him. See, there's a background to what Jesus is saying here. If you've got your Bibles, let me encourage you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, because there's a background to what Jesus is saying when he says, I'm the good shepherd. When he says that there were shepherds who see the wolves coming and they don't do anything, they abandon the sheep. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals. And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements and in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. And there they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in a rich pasture on mountains of Israel. And I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And that's the background of Jesus coming and saying, I am the good shepherd. Most of the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the priests of Jesus' day stood in a long and ignoble tradition of having a form of godliness but denying its power. And it's against the backdrop of all of that that Jesus comes and he says, I am the good shepherd. But how do we know that he's the one? It's a bold claim. How do we know that he's the one? Well, you know, that depends very much on what you mean by know. Because we could look at how Jesus of Nazareth fulfills all the prophecies of the Messiah made in the Old Testament scriptures. The prophecies of the return of the Davidic king, of the shepherd of Israel. We could look at the miracles that he performed, the signs of the kingdom of God which he brought with him. We could look at the grace and the authority of his words. We could look at his selfless, self-sacrificing acts of love, not just on Calvary, but throughout his entire ministry. And all of those would be true. And all of them would be proof, but none of them would be convincing. We know that he's the one. I know that he's the one. And if you know he's the one, you know that he is the one for one simple reason. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them from my hand. In John chapter 10, verses 24 through 26, we read the Jews gathered around him. I want to point out that in John's gospel, when John uses the word Jews, he's talking about the leaders of Judaism. All the people that John wrote to were Jews. John was a Jew. He's talking about the leaders of Judaism. The Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, that's what it seems like you're saying. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. For the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, for all who rejected Jesus, no sign that he performed, no amount of evidence would ever convince him that he was the promised one. The great I am who had come himself to shepherd the sheep. If anyone believes in him, it's because they're his sheep. And he makes it clear that not all are. You do not believe, he said to the religious leaders, because you are not of my sheep. Not everyone is able to say in truth, the Lord is my shepherd. but those who can are his sheep. And they hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You know, in the ancient Near East, and I'm told in the Near East today, I don't remember if it was the tailors who told me this. I've known several people have gone to Israel, but told this story of how there would be grazing areas where shepherds would bring their flocks together, and all the flocks would be mingled. And then when it was time for a certain shepherd to move on, he would call the sheep, and out of this big mass of sheep, heads would come up. Not all the heads, his sheep. Their heads would come up and they would turn and face him and they would follow him. And the sheep of that shepherd would hear his voice and they would follow him. And if a stranger called, well, they wouldn't follow that shepherd. They didn't know his voice. Jesus' sheep hear his voice and they follow him. If you recognize his voice, if you understand who he is, it's because you're his sheep, chosen and precious in his sight. And you know, this shepherd is unique among all shepherds. Look at verse 11. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Look at verse 14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's a strange thing to say, a startling thing to say. Shepherds may care very much for their sheep, so much so that in a critical moment, they may, without thinking, act in such a way that they risk their life for their sheep. But no shepherd will knowingly give his life for his sheep. That's backwards. That's to not understand what sheep are for. But this shepherd is different, and you know why? Because after all, as I said at the beginning, you recognize, right, that this is a metaphor. We're not talking about woolly animals here. We're talking about girls and boys, women and men created in the very image of God. The shepherds who came before him, he says, they weren't even willing to suffer inconvenience or discomfort for the good of the sheep. This shepherd is willing to give his life for them, not only willing, it's the purpose for which he came. You know, this shepherd, unlike those who were spoken against by Jeremiah, by Ezekiel, by Isaiah, this shepherd has not come to tell you sweet lies. He's not come to gain popularity and to be the darling of the masses. He's come to call his sheep, to speak the truth, to tell you the truth that your sin is very, very bad. It is no superficial wound. You bear a mortal wound. You are under the wrath and curse of God. And you will live a short, frustration-filled life, and then you'll die in your sin. And there was no one to intervene, no one to save. So his own arm worked salvation. Because all we, like sheep, had gone astray, each has turned to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The good shepherd came to lay his life down for his sheep, to bear your unbearable sins, to bring you peace with God. To give you eternal life. so that on your death day, you will not die in your sins. And the grave will not have the last word. He came for his sheep. And his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. And they'll not listen to a stranger, the siren song of the world, the voices, the cacophony of voices all around us that tell us things that are pleasant and sweet but are untrue. His sheep will not listen to the pretty prophecies and lying oracles that say, hey, you know what? All is right with you. And all's good with the world. And God doesn't think your sins are so bad. You come to church and just believe some facts and keep some rules and let your heart continue to dwell on itself. Serve yourself. And if you just pay lip service to God in your self-serving ways, everything will be well with you. That was the message of the priests and the prophets in Isaiah's day, in Jeremiah's day, in Ezekiel's day. It was the message of the priests and the teachers of the law in Jesus' day. And it's the message of many popular preachers today. Jesus said to the teachers, why do you not believe? It's because you are not of my sheep. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. What voices do you listen to? Are you God's sheep? Do you hear his voice? Do you turn from the voices of those who speak to you pleasant falsehoods and lies? Or do you drink it in like water? Because it's so easy, and it's so popular, and everyone is doing it. The writer to the Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Father, give us ears to hear the voice of the good shepherd. O great I am, thank you that you have come into the world to bind up the brokenhearted, to seek your scattered sheep, and to call us into one fold. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you and the Father are one. And you are the great shepherd of the sheep. Help us to hear your voice, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.